Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass in the KVOI control room. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, mid-February. It's February 16th, 2022, our 12th year here on the radio, our 34th year now in TV and radio in Tucson. Tom Fairbanks, great to get some rain up at our home before I went into the radio station today. Didn't last long. Maybe 10 minutes, but boy, we sure could use some more.
Well, we have some rather wet clouds kind of hanging around out there, so who knows? And did you like the fall spring that we had there for a couple of days?
Yeah, that's called the fall spring. Normally happens here right around Valentine's Day, right on schedule, where all the plants think it is spring, but it's not. It's still winter. It's the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI, The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, which we will be utilizing for all three of our major interviews today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. Dr. Mazes is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She's the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about Victoria at her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill.
Well, we have a lot to unpack during our session today because this is a very important information. The CDC is proposing some new guidelines for treating pain, including opioid use. Let's begin with, I guess this is a document that's 229 pages long.
Yes, it is a long document. Having gone through, I'll have to admit I didn't read every word, but having gone through the document, but it is out right now for public comment, and it is an update from some guidelines that the CDC put out in 2016, which generated a lot of anger. There were a lot of people who were not happy with the 2016 guidelines. So these 2022 guidelines are, I think, a step back toward a more reasonable approach.
What was the anger about 2016? What was the deal with those guidelines that upset many in the medical profession?
Well, in 2016, the CDC put forth a strict kind of perspective of limiting the amount of pills someone should get when they had pain, limiting the dose, it's called morphine equivalents, that someone should get. And there are people who have chronic pain who are on higher doses. There are pain medicine physicians who you had many patients on higher doses. And there was just kind of this outrage of you're kind of leaving these people in the lurch. Now, let me just say that when the CDC passed the 2016 guidelines, they were intended to be suggestions, recommendations, not law. However, a lot of states, more than half of the states in our country, did pass laws that limited opioid prescriptions to, for example, 7 days or less for an initial prescription. And so it did really create a lot of problems. And there was a survey of 3,000 patients that found that 84% of them had worse pain and worse quality of life after those guidelines were put into law by the states.
So this has characterized these new recommendations, and I believe there are 12 of them. It's characterized
yes.
by the American Society of Regional Anesthesia and Pain Medicine as really a total change in the culture from those 2016 guidelines. So let's get into a few of the major recommendations.
Yes, so indeed, this 2022 proposed guideline, like I said, you know, anyone who's listening to this has a chance to go on the site and offer comment if this is an important issue for you. But there is much more recognition of the need for flexibility and that pain care has to be individualized. It is not a one-size-fits-all. So the tone of these 12 are very, very different. I have to say, as an integrative medicine physician and teacher, one of the things I'm really delighted with is the emphasis on what we call non-pharmacological treatments. So there are so many different treatments for which we know they will be helpful for both acute and chronic pain without the side effects or the potential side effects of some of the medications, things like hypnosis or chiropractic, massage, acupuncture, some of the anti-inflammatory dietary supplements and anti-inflammatory diet. These are all things that can be helpful in different kinds of pain conditions. So happily, recommendations 1 and 2 in this 22 guideline is you should begin with non-opioid therapies because they are effective for many kinds of acute pain. And then the second one is that for subacute and chronic pain, you should also preferentially recommend non-opioid therapies and only use opioids if really the risks are going to outweigh the benefits.
Are there specific guidelines telling the amount of opioids that can be used unlike the 2016 guidelines?
Yeah, so there's still a recommendation. So the first two, as I mentioned, are mm-hmm. non-pharmacological approaches. And then the next 10 are all about opioids. So, yes, the 10 recommendations do talk about when you start an opioid therapy, you really want to prescribe what's called an immediate release instead of a long-acting opioid. You want to use the lowest dose that is expected to be effective. In other words, you don't want to use too small a dose, but you want to start with someone who hasn't ever been on opioids with the lowest effective dose. Then there are recommendations about not prescribing for longer than the duration that you think would be needed. So, for example, some of the studies show that when people prescribe opioids, 92% of patients have leftover pills, and half of the pills overall are unused.
Wow.
So that leaves a lot of pills around, you know, for sometimes someone else to get their hands on or to be used inappropriately in one way or another. So prescribing, less is more in a new prescription. Yeah.
Yeah, let me circle back now to some of the non-opioid therapies.
Mm-hmm.
As a one-time migraine sufferer, I know that what it's like to live from the pain of migraines, and some of them would be very severe. Thank goodness. I was told that, well, there's a good chance you will kind of grow out of it. And at the time, I didn't think mm-hmm. it was possible, Dr. Mazes, mm-hmm. but I indeed have, knock on wood. The guidelines note that opioids should not be used for those who have the episodic migraines.
Yeah. So, you know, migraines as one example of a condition, a headache that can give you terrific pain.
Yep.
There are actually lots of other both pharmaceutical medications that don't carry the risk of opioid addiction or even worse, overdose. And so you would absolutely, if you needed medication, you'd be better off using one of the very specific medicines. There are also some very effective non-medication in the dietary supplement category. So, for example, one is called Butterbur, and that could be effective. Another is using prevention with magnesium, for example, or riboflavin, also, you know, been shown to be very effective. When you say that you grew out of it, I wonder, because I know you're someone who pays careful attention to your diet, whether maybe as you gradually modified your diet over the years, you eliminated a trigger. So there are people who have dietary triggers of their migraine, and how much nicer to not get it at all because you've eliminated one of those triggers from your diet.
Well, I certainly have cut down over the years on sugar. You have a good point there. I never really thought about that, but perhaps that there was a trigger there. And I know I'm eating a ton more vegetables, really have transitioned to what we have talked about over the years on this program to a Mediterranean diet where there's a small amount of meat, lots of vegetables in the dinner serving. So you might be onto something. That might be one of the reasons.
Yeah. So migraines is one example. Another super common reason people have pain is back pain. And there are many ways, again, to manage back pain without having to go to the opioids. And that does include medicine like Tylenol or some of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which would be things like ibuprofen or naproxen sodium. These are over-the-counter. They could be very helpful. Heat, you know, putting a heating pad on your back or ice can be helpful. Going to a chiropractor or getting a massage, getting acupuncture. There's just many other effective ways. And the research shows that in acute back pain, these can be as effective or more effective than the opioids. So it's not just we don't want you to be taking opioids because of the risk, but it's also that there are more effective ways to manage these.
All right. When we continue, Dr. Mazes, I want to dig deep into the Integrative Pain Management Statewide Research Project that you and your colleagues are very much involved with at the Weill Center for Integrative Medicine. So we'll talk about that when we come back. So stay with us. All right. But right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Yeah, I still love bakery goods and always have. And I'm want to talk about what I consider to be the finest bakery in Southern Arizona, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They're open at 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast. And they've got some beautiful pictures up on their website now of all of the menu items that are ready there on the website to tempt you when you go into Mona's. In fact, probably the biggest decision you'll have is, what do I want? They all look so good. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll pause right here. More with Dr. Mazes right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. If plants could talk, if you were over by Green Things, they would be on their 13-acre site. There would be a collective sigh. Oh, that rain was so nice. 3384 East River Road, the address for Green Things, 13-acre site. Just chock full of everything you could imagine for the garden and some beautiful merchandise in the Zocalo Village, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Those are the websites. They're in their 51st year at Green Things, open daily, and we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now on the live line. Our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We were talking about the new CDC proposal, the new guidelines for treating pain, including opioid use. The Center for Integrative Medicine, the Weil Center, Dr. Mazes, since 2017 has been looking at this whole issue of opioid addiction, and what progress have you made since 2017?
Yeah, so one of the things that integrative medicine really shines at is offering a wider range of strategies to take care of anyone with a variety of medical problems, but especially pain. In fact, many of the different organizations around the country say that all pain management ought to be integrative. In other words, we need that broader paradigm, not just thinking about medicines or physical therapy or in rare situations, seeing an anesthesiologist for a pain block or having a back surgery, but rather we should be thinking about what is the role for acupuncture, for hypnosis and guided imagery, for manual therapies like massage and chiropractic and osteopathic manipulation. What about other things that are a little less common? For example, hyperbaric oxygen treatment. So there's much, much broader array of therapies that you could use to help people who are suffering from pain. And the tricky thing is that while the various organizations are now pointing to integrative pain management, most professionals didn't learn this during their training. They didn't have this in medical school or nursing school or physical therapy school or whatever it may be. And so we are trying to fill a gap by offering healthcare professionals courses in integrative pain management. We've been doing this for many, many years, but in 2017, we actually were able to study one of our courses in 22 family medicine residencies. So half of them got the course. The other half were what we call a waitlist control, which means they got it at a later point. And we found that when doctors and nurse practitioners took this course, they were more confident in their ability to recommend non-pharmacological treatments for people with chronic pain. They had more compassion for people with pain, and of course they knew more about what was out there and what worked.
Well, so you have now some really concrete metrics, don't you, to work with?
Exactly. And the other thing that's interesting is that in the state of Arizona, and Arizona was the leader in this, the legislature created a prescription monitoring program. Now, lots of states have that, where you monitor how much opioid is being prescribed. What Arizona is doing is that's unique is it has what's called a report card, where anyone who prescribes, so that's doctors and nurse practitioners and dentists, in some cases pharmacists, will get every quarter a list of the number of prescriptions they've written and comparing them to their peers. So, of course, if you're a pain medicine specialist, you're going to prescribe more than the average family doctor. So they compare oncologists to oncologists and hospice docs to hospice docs and surgeons to surgeons and so on. So you're really being compared to your peers. And you can see, are you an outlier? Are you prescribing too little, perhaps? Are you prescribing too much? Or are you kind of right there in the middle of you know, what is considered best practice?
Well, that's wonderful that this is being, it increases to be, it's widely used. I hope it's widely used now in the state of Arizona. It's certainly needed. Would you call it widely used? Am I being optimistic there?
Well, I think we don't know for sure because, okay, you know, these kinds of things haven't necessarily been studied. So right now we have a study for all prescribers in the state of Arizona. They can have the course we've developed for free. And we will be looking at, are they able to grow their knowledge base so that they now have a broader understanding of things that can be done for people with pain? Are they more comfortable making non-pharmacological recommendations? And this is a study we're very excited about. And if any of the listeners are prescribers, we hope that you'll consider joining the study.
And what would be the best way to reach out to you?
It is on our website, which if you Google Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, it comes right up. And then it's on our front page that we are enrolling people in this study.
Circling back to the CDC proposal for the 12 recommendations, you mentioned that this is a period for comment. Where would someone go if they wanted to comment about these new guidelines?
Yeah, so there is a federal registry that is collecting the comments, and I'm just going to see if I can quickly figure out if there's a quick, it's www.federalregister.gov. And then you can submit. But I think if you Google 2022 CDC practice guidelines for opioids, you're going to get there. So if you just remember the topic and put in some of those search terms, you will have the opportunity. About 750 people have commented so far, and our center will be commenting with a group of people who are really committed to what we call integrative pain management.
Well, this is such an important area, and it sounds like the medical profession, at least when they've at first glance at this, and it is in draft form, the 12 recommendations, it seems like this is quite a step forward from what was not well received, Dr. Mays's prescribing guidelines for opioids since 2016.
I completely agree. And, you know, we can always do better. And that's our commitment to quality improvement. So if you are someone who cares passionately about this topic, take a look and put your comments down.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. And we will look for your work. We can go to your website, victoriamaysesmd.com. And, of course, you're on Twitter at vmayses. Stay safe, be well, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays is our contributor on health on the Buckmaster Show. And coming up after the break, our Reed Park Zoo update. So much going on at the zoo. Some very big things are happening at our zoo. And Deborah Carr is on our live line. She'll be ready to tell us about it after the break. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The following segment is presented by Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed. It was originally created as an exhibit of exotic birds. My, oh my, this zoo has really grown into one of America's top zoos with over 300 animals from all over the world, welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, Deborah Carr, Director of Marketing and Events at the Reed Park Zoo. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well and excited about really something big happening over at the zoo. And, you know, I think there's a fascination regardless of age. People just love dinosaurs.
They do, and they have descended at Reed Park Zoo. We have 10 life-size, roaring, moving prehistoric giants that have been brought back to life through amazing animatronics. They were made in consultation with leading paleontologists, so each one is as realistic as possible. And as you travel throughout the zoo, you'll see them travel back in time to imagine the days when these amazing giants rule the earth. We'll also have educational markers along the way so you can learn things about the dinosaurs, how they lived, and even what Tucson was like during the age of dinosaurs.
Deborah, how did this project, this dinosaur discovery, how did the zoo acquire it? Tell us a little bit about what's involved.
Yes. Well, you know, we always look for ways, Bill, to bring people to the zoo and engage them in our mission and conservation and connecting with animals. So we wanted to do something that was a little bit different and fresh and a reason to visit the zoo this spring. So we reached out to a company called Imagine Exhibitions, and they are experts at building these dinosaur exhibits, and it takes quite a crew to get them here. There was, two enormous semis in it. They come in pieces and you have to put them together. So we have dino doctors and nurses that got them all in place around the zoo. And really, it's a great thing because every ticket that people buy to see the zoo and the dinosaurs is actually helping us to care for the animals that live here and also to support conservation programs around the world that the zoo's involved in. It's a great place to see them also in their natural habitat, so you can see them not in a warehouse, but in a beautiful natural setting in the zoo as they might have appeared 66 million years ago.
Deborah, were you surprised? I mean, we all know dinosaurs are big, right? Generally big, I guess, but some are bigger than others. Were you surprised at the size of these life-size dinos?
Well, I've done a number of exhibits before at other places, so yes and no, but we do have one particularly huge dinosaur, and it's a Spinosaurus. It's 45 foot long, and it was the largest of all the carnivores, including T-Rex. It could not bring down T-Rex, but it was the largest. And a fascinating story, it was discovered in 1912 with a partial skeleton, but the bones were destroyed in World War II during a bombing raid. It was rediscovered almost by accident in 2008 in Morocco. So this was a massive sea and land monster. It was primarily a fisherman, but it also stalked on land near the water. And it could kill prey in the water the size of a small car, if you can imagine that. And it had a snout and moved much like a crocodile, using its tail as a rudder.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's the big T-Rex at over 16 feet tall, of course, and some recent thought is that T-Rex could run up to 60 miles an hour and had a bite force that was the equivalent of being crushed by three small cars. So if you can imagine life during that age, it was quite something. And then we also have some very interesting dinosaurs like Hadrosaur, which is a plant eater, a dentist dream with up to about 1,400 teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
So just fascinating. Each one is fascinating as you meet them. And as you travel the zoo, this is another reason why we wanted to bring them here. You can notice some similarities between living animals today, especially birds, as you were mentioning earlier, which are living dinosaurs. And it's also a great way for us to engage people as they're walking around the zoo to think about some of the animals that we have today, like African elephants and African lions and the African wild dogs that are in danger of disappearing in our lifetime, and some simple steps that we can all take to avoid that happening and avoiding having to see those animals someday only in animatronic form.
Deborah Carr is with us from the Reed Park Zoo. Is there a special admission for the dino exhibit, Deborah?
No, actually, there is no extra charge. It's included with your zoo admission, and it's also free for zoo members. So it's a great deal, a great family outing. You can see the dinosaurs in the zoo from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. And we also will have a dino night from 6 to 8:30 p.m. March 4th, so you can see the dinosaurs after dark, or in the dark, which should be fun. And also, during spring break, we open the zoo for extended hours from 6:30 p.m., and that will be until 6:30 p.m., March 10th through March 20th.
I understand there's going to be a special talk. My friend Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is going to be doing that talk March 30th about the dinos.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a Zoom talk, and we'll be getting some information about that soon on our website. But he's going to be talking a little bit about extinction on the dinosaurs. How do we know what happened, and how can we piece this together? Because, you know, the theory is that there was a big meteor that hit the Earth in the Yucatan Peninsula just down in Mexico. So he'll take us through all those fascinating details and have some Q&A. It should be a great night with a leading paleontologist.
The weather's been so delightful for an outing to the zoo. Let's talk about what's coming up this spring at the zoo, Deborah Carr.
Yes, and of course, if you haven't been to the zoo recently, we have a great little five-month-old zebra foal, Haru. He is all legs, and he is just growing and growing. And he's learning to be independent, eating and taking care of himself on his own. So you'll see him in the habitat. And this is an important birth for us at the zoo because grebe zebra are the most endangered of all the zebra species. And to get foals up to even the one-year mark is quite a milestone. They're prone to accidents and demise both in the wild and in human care. So we're just overjoyed that he is continuing to do so well and people just love him so much. We also have a senior celebration day coming up on March 4th. We'll have $5 admission for seniors 62 and better, with special animal chats and presentations, music, bingo, and activities. And you can hear also about how the zoo takes care of our animals that are aging.
You know, I just noticed on Facebook there was an interesting post from the zoo about your elephants, and it was wonderful to hear the elephant, one of them, with a real roar. I mean, it was just really outstanding to see those elephants together and to hear them on Facebook. I just saw that a few minutes ago.
Yes, yes, they're quite active in the habitat. And spring especially is a great time to come and see the animals. The weather's not too hot. They tend to be very active and inquisitive this time of year. And the elephants are no exception. And they'll start actually heading into the water pretty soon as well.
You know, the wonderful news is that our COVID cases have been going down. And a lot of people who really didn't feel comfortable getting out are going to want to be getting out over to the zoo. Tell us a little bit about zoo membership and how easy it is to really help out the Reed Park Zoo.
Yes, every membership does tremendously help the zoo with care and feeding of the animals and our operations and education and conservation programs. And memberships start at just $37 for an entire year. It gives you free admission to the zoo for a full year as well as to about 150 other zoos and aquariums across the country. So it's a great deal. And, of course, with the dinosaurs, you can see them as many times as you want for free as a zoo member. It's pretty easy to sign on. You just go to our website at reedparkzoo.org and look for the membership tab, and it'll give you all the information that you need to sign up, and we can get you activated and a Zoom member very quickly.
And again, the dino exhibit will be up for how long, Deborah Carr?
It's here for a limited time through May 15th.
May 15th.
So come and see them before they're extinct again.
Okay, and again, that senior celebration is on March the 4th. $5 admission for those over 62, and there's going to be all sorts of activities. So lots going on this spring at the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah Carr, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill. Hope to see you at the zoo soon.
Thank you very much. Deborah Carr from the Reed Park Zoo. Up next, Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Public Education for Pima County. Dustin is going to be with us on the live line right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
It's Buckmaster back with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the southwest corner of New Mexico, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just looking at the weather, it's going to be a great weekend over in Silver City. A little bit of rain has moving into that area. We'll move through and then out. So it should be perfect for doing some outdoor activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Their website has all sorts of ideas about how to recreate and where to stay. Some great places to stay. Only about a three-hour drive from Silver City. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County School Superintendent Dustin Williams joining us now on the live line. Dustin, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing fantastic. Glad to be on with you and all of your fantastic listeners.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this interview because we've been watching the caseload, and it looks good, a lot better, the COVID caseload, than where it was. There was a time not too long ago, like a month ago, Dustin, we had 3,000 cases a day in Pima County. We're down to about 300. What's the latest? Give us the overview of Pima County and schools.
you know, overview of schools doing real good as far as catching kids up to learning and just getting back on track. We've got the aggregated expenditure limit at the state legislature hopefully getting finalized this week. We know that the House of Representatives passed that yesterday. The Senate is, you know, they're maybe one or two short, but I think they'll come through. We really hope they will. And then we've got COVID that just seems to start finally taming down, and we're seeing those numbers, like you said, go the direction that everybody wants so that we can maintain our regular lives and kind of just get back to normalcy. All positive stuff on that front for COVID. The aggregated expenditure limit, what they call the AEL, that's the big thing on the topic of all educators right now.
Is that an April 1st deadline or March 1st? What's the latest on that deadline?
Yeah, that's a quick one. That's March 1st, about a week away here. And that's got to be finalized through two-thirds vote in the House and two-thirds vote in the Senate. And yesterday, the vote went to the floor on the House. They passed it. I think it was 45, maybe. I think 45 passed it out of the 60. And now we're over to the Senate, and it hasn't moved yet. So we really got to get that passed. That's about $1.2 billion to the state. That'd be $150 million loss here in Pima County if that doesn't get passed by the Senate this week. So counting on our legislators, if you know some senators here in Pima County or across the state, give us some love and tell them to get that thing passed so we can move on and finish this year out positively.
And that money is good through what period, Dustin?
Yeah, that's going to be for the remainder of this school year. And then when we start up again next year, that will give us a year now, so for till next year. Ultimately, this will need to be an initiative or a referendum that goes back to the people where the people will have to vote. So you will see this on the ballot more than likely next year so that it can be a constitutional change and not a legislative change.
Dustin Williams with us, Pima County School Superintendent. Give us the overview again, Dustin, of what's in your portfolio and how many schools you keep an eye on.
Yeah, so we're designed to help all schools in Pima County. Got about 400 here in Pima County. Got 150,000 K-12 amazing students running around. We represent about 17 districts for the financial administrative capabilities. About $1.5 billion goes through our office. We don't have control on that money. Obviously, that goes to the district schools and the governing board members and superintendent. They have final say on and authority what they want to do, but we help them with all that. We run the governing board elections. So if you want to be a governing board member, you come through here. We also run the elections for bonds and overrides. We also do professional development. So when schools need help for whatever reason, they want better STEM skills, math skills, reading, writing, they come through here. We're a professional development provider. And then we run a jail school, schools that students are incarcerated. They have every right to have the best education possible, and that's what we have. It's called an accommodation district. That's actually our school. Those are our babies, so we take care of them as much as the best way possible. And that's what we run, 365 days here. And any idea that comes through here, we're the leadership service and collaborations, our mission, and we're the master of connecting the dots. That's what we try to do best, is to work with everyone that has a great idea that's good for kids and good for our community.
What a two-year period this has been, though, for Dustin Williams and your staff. And at this point, give us the overview. How does it look now? I know just a month ago, my goodness, it was all hands on deck. We even had Dr. Trujillo here on the program saying that he was probably going to have to step in and come into the classroom because of the shortage of teachers. What does it look like right now?
You know, it's the COVID roller coaster is the minute you see a little light at the end of the tunnel. You never want to go to this fun park is the problem, because
right.
It always goes the opposite direction. And,
yep.
And so if there's positives in COVID, I mean, it affects everyone, and we're really all in this together at the end of the day. The Omicron variant was the roller coaster ride where it flipped us right back into where we were basically a year ago, even more so because it was so contagious that we had staff in and out. And when you lose the staff, well, then you lose the logistics of running the school because you don't have that personnel, and that's what makes it tough. Plus, on top of that, we had a shortage prior COVID.
Sure.
25% across the state, thousands of teachers. And so, Bill, that's going to be on the horizon. It's something we really got to look at, because even as we come out of COVID, we still have, you know, the morale's been down. The political fever has not been pleasant. So hopefully we can get people focusing more on kids and talking about how we can help and getting along. And just moving in a positive direction and get this year finished out as best as we can. But most importantly, see if we can't get some more professionals wanting to come to this industry, because we still are lacking a lot of positions, not just teachers. It's bus drivers, cafeteria, maintenance. The whole profession's really lacking in a pipeline for personnel coming in. That's the big thing we're really looking at as far as longevity for education.
And this whole thing about masks, maybe that whole argument will be going away, too, as the case numbers go down.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because you don't want schools too far away from what's actually happening in life, right?
Right,
so
right.
If schools are the last component with the masks, but then when you leave and everybody out in the community doesn't have them, you don't want to get too far away. So you saw the county take away the mask mandate for Pima County, I believe, yesterday.
Yep.
Schools still have it. Ultimately, they will have that decision. I think you'll probably see more of some options as far as option only coming forth, especially when you start to see the cases in the single digits and double digits, hopefully in the next couple weeks to a month here.
Have the attendance figures now been going up after kind of that really bad point about a month ago?
Yeah, what we're seeing is the staff numbers for case infections are getting low. And so when those are getting lower, we know we're manning our classrooms, and then the students follow in that same line. So as people watch the county and state numbers, superintendents like myself and district superintendents and leaders, we watch the daily counts of what's happening actually in the schools. So even a month ago, we were seeing caseloads in, 650 to 1,000 in Pima County that was per day.
Wow.
Now those numbers are down to, 75 to 150 a day total in Pima County. So that is comforting to know. It makes everybody take a little breather. And if we can get this aggregated expenditure limit taken care of here very quickly, hopefully by our amazing senators up in Phoenix, we can just move forward in this year and get this thing finished out.
Yeah, and I've only got about 30 seconds, but it really impacted everything, transportation, all the service areas of the schools. So hopefully we can kind of have somewhat, you almost hate to say it, somewhat normal as we close out the year, Dustin Williams.
Agree with you 100%, Bill. We're at schools.pima.gov. Like us on Facebook and Twitter, all that stuff. And
great.
And we'll do it together. How about that?
Sounds good, Dustin Williams. Thank you. Appreciate all you do. Thanks a lot.
All right, Bill.
All right, that'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the superintendent of Pima County Schools, Dustin Williams, also on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, doing his fine job on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster inviting you to stick around. A lot of people love the Dave Ramsey Show. Highly rated national talk show host. We're happy to have him on KVOI. He's next after CBS Network News. Back with you in about 23 hours. Have a great day.